Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, again to be here this morning. And Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord, to just enter into your promises, Lord, for this hour and to be ready when it's time to go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to preach part two of The Power to Conceive. Last week, we began to look into the ability to receive the Holy Ghost and thus conceiving God's very own life. This week, we will continue to examine this thought. And a conception means to receive. So, in other words, to begin life, like a seed being planted. Now, there are a few things about the conception, about this conception, that we must understand if we are to understand this process of life. Number one, the seed that is sown is not the same as what comes up. In 1 Corinthians, we read, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but of bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God give it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." Now, one thing that I brought out last week that I thought was very interesting was we read the scripture in 1 Corinthians that when you're caught up, all right, you're going to receive a glorified body, all right? But the ungodly don't receive a glorified body. So the only body they will ever have is a body of this flesh, which Brother Branham called cannon fodder. And the reason he called it cannon fodder is because basically it's fertilizer for the time of the millennium. All right, that's it. That's what it's good for. But you receive a body change. You receive a glorified body that's commensurate with his body. All right. So that makes that's a big difference between us and them. Now, number two, there has to be an order or law that governs reproduction in all life. Otherwise, conception would bring total chaos. And if we find that, we find it in the law of Genesis, the law of life, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now notice God said, he says it, and then he performs it. The law of God is basically God in action. His word first, and then his power. And Brother Bram said, "He who gave the word is here to confirm it." In other words, to bring it to pass. That's why he came in the way he came, with power. Now, number three, the seed must bring forth after its kind. If there is a life in the seed, then what life that is in the seed is the same life that will manifest itself. That is the rule of God that he set forth in Genesis 1:11, and we see it in all of nature. Every seed must come forth after its kind. All right, so John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." So notice, in the beginning was the Word. That's the seed. Remember, the Son of Man went forth sowing seeds, and Mark tells us the seed is the Word of God. All right, so God brought forth his seed, and the seed came in the image, like Paul says in Hebrews 1, he was the very image of the Father, okay? So he was the seed of the Father, the Word of God. All right. 1 John 1:1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So how could he show it unless he had it himself? In other words, if we have the life of God in us, it has to manifest. And that's what he says, the life was manifested. All right, manifested in who? Well, manifested first in the firstborn son, then in other sons. Okay? that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, years ago, I heard a woman who thought that she was expecting a child. This is a true story, okay? And she seemed to have all the symptoms, and she seemed to be carrying the child to full term, and then all of a sudden there was nothing, just like some Christians, okay? People say they are born again, but what are they born from? There seems to be no manifested life. The woman saw a transformation within herself. She got fatter and fatter and fatter, okay? But there was no seed in her. So when the doctor finally said, hey, you're not even pregnant. So what was the transformation then? It was just eating too much is what it turned out to be. There was no life in her, and probably what she thought the child was rolling around was just gas, okay? I'm not trying to be funny, but that's really it's really sad that they got that far. There was no life in her, yet she could see herself being transformed, and so she thought she was being transformed. In other words, she thought she had a baby. I think she was just eating too much and she got fat, but oh, how they were expecting a baby, but nothing came of it. How many people think that they're being changed by God and there's nothing to it? All right, they're just the same old person. Now, the three stages of life are very important because you could still have two of them and be stillborn. In 1 John 14 and 16, we read, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now that word comfortless is parakletos, okay? And that parakletos actually speaks of the time of adoption, I'll come to you, okay? In other words, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. Excuse me, the word is orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So when does he come? At the time of adoption, see? Now, this is not complete yet. There must be a further fulfillment in order to bring forth the life into manifestation. So, John 17, 20 to 22 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe in me through their word. For they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may all be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, or the doxa, the opinions, the values, which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, here it says that the glory or doxa was necessary to bring on the special identification, that they may be one. Okay? So, we see it again in Ephesians 1:13-14, which is the same as John 14:16, but is not the fulfillment itself. But notice verse 15-17, which the father of doxa comes to bring on the fulfillment. Brother Bram said, the threefold mystery of Christ, he said, in other words, is Christ with you, Christ in you, and then Christ through you. Okay, so in other words, not only is he in you, but actually he's using you. That's Christ through you, okay? And you see, the law of life says every seed must bring forth after its kind. Now, again, years ago, I was in Edmonton, Alberta. I went up there for a minister's meeting, and I happened to be walking through the world's largest mall, and I stopped at a zoo in the mall, and I looked at the monkeys. And a man next to me said, isn't it something to think that we came from them? And I just looked at him, and I said, you might have, but I didn't. Okay? So we read in the book of Psalms, Song of Solomon, excuse me. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him, whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him, whom my soul loveth. And I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. Now, that speaks of a type of the bride who he comes down. The Bible in Song of Solomon says, I saw him through the lattice, okay? In other words, I didn't see him face to face. I saw him, through something unclear. But then I went out and searched for him and found him, and I saw him face to face, okay? Then she took him into her mother's chamber, and there she conceived, okay? Notice how she saw an identification and received a seed, and then she conceived. Now, you can only conceive of the life of the one that you are having your love affair with. It is either Christ or it is Satan. So in Colossians, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear also with him in glory. Now, the specifics about the word appear is when Christ, who is our life, shall phaneroo. In other words, when he shall manifest in his true nature, then we shall also appear with him in our true nature. Now, John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear at his phaneroo, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the only way that the bride can actually come to full bride is having this message, because this is the hour when we see him as he is. You know, they didn't see him as he is in Luther's day and in John Wesley's day, and they saw him in part, okay? But we're actually seeing everything about him now. Now, these false ministries that you see on TV and hear on the radio, the people come and they see or they hear, but there's no conception. There's no transformation. They just walk out of the church the same way they came in. It is because there is no message. And if there is no message, then there is no seed. And if there is no seed, then there is no life. Now, Brother Branham said, nothing outside of the revealed word can come to life. In the Song of Solomon, then, the identification was external. The life was manifested to her. First it came to her, and then it entered into her. It came from the external and entered into her, making it internal. Now, this is the age of the ear, which is female. The word spoken is a projectile. It's like a spora. It's like a spora, okay, a spore, okay. In 1 Peter 1:23, we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the ear is then the reciprocal or the female organ. The mind is the womb of the spirit. The external word comes in and becomes internal life. Our Mount Carmel showdown is when the rapture takes place. And that will be our complete identification. That will tell you really if you've conceived or not, or whether you just went through a birthing term but really had nothing there. The woman has a sort of seed that must come in contact with the male to be quickened. The church, like the woman, can't bring forth on her own, even though in this hour they say we don't need a man. You know, we're going to do everything ourselves. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, That's the end of your race, so to speak, because you won't bring forth seed. So the word is the seed that brings to life. In 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the hope which has been, one translation is the hope which has been made alive, okay? In other words, the word of God in you is quickened, it's actually conceived in you, it's bringing forth something, okay? And 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power, that's his word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and to virtue. So there's something about the word of God coming in, taking over, and bringing to life a manifestation of the life of the word, okay? So, it is he that brings to life, but just to say, just as the same spirit that is upon the woman's liberation movement, they don't want a man. They think that they are self-sufficient. So too the woman types of church, okay? So the church thinks that they can get it by without Christ. They can just have their programs. Now, a woman can't produce life on their own. It takes a man. A woman that tries to bring forth a child by coming together with another woman is nothing but a perversion, and we'll see a glimmer of that in this age. And so it is when the church tries to bring forth life, they can't do it. They are only producing a perversion. It takes the Lord himself to bring the new birth. Brother Branham said, justification made a way for sanctification, which made then a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which then made a way for the baptizer himself to become identified among us. Now, if we look at the life of Abraham, we see God's appearing made a way for the arrival of the promised son. Okay, God came himself, the appearing before the coming. Now, let's examine what takes place after conception then. The next stage is transformation. All right, so you conceive, then what happens? It begins, that life that you conceive begins to transform in you. This is the part that the woman really hate. They don't mind the conception part, okay? But they do like they do not like the transformation part because it calls for a sacrifice on their part. In John, in 1 John 3:3, and every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So what hope? Now, when we look at a woman, at first she is not aware that she has conceived. She feels lousy. She looks in the mirror, looks lousy, feels sick. And I thought when I was born again, I would become sinless, okay? So that's kind of what we go through. In the mind, you know, you think, well, now I've received the Holy Ghost and everything's going to be nirvana, you know, everything's going to be lovely. And we find out how ugly we are and how sinful we are, and everything is sinful. And then we begin to say, hey, what happened to me? Well, you're born again. That's what happened to you. And if we look at Eve, before she could commit her act physically, she had to do it mentally, which is spiritually. So we receive a change spiritually before we receive our change physically. But you see, I remember being on campus when I was born again, and I'd never noticed the undress of people until I was born again. And then all of a sudden, everything just was so wicked, and I couldn't understand why didn't it bother me a month ago, and it bothers me today? You know, what's happening with me? Everything is wicked. Everything's evil. And that's just what happens when you're born again. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass of glory, or the dose of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that you're changed from word to word, okay? In other words, like, your sister and you cut your hair and now all of a sudden you don't cut it anymore. You know, you used to wear shorts and now you don't wear them anymore. You dress like a lady, you know. And you men used to cuss and things like that. You don't do that anymore. Well, you're changed from glory to glory to glory, you see. And so in Romans 12:1-3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And actually the NIV says, which is your spiritual act of worship. So you're allowing your body to be transformed by living the Christian life is your reasonable act of worship, okay? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So your transformation then begins by the renewing of your mind. Now, in Romans 8:5-6, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And I think we've read it this way before. For they that are after self do mind the things of self, okay? Because if you're self-centered, you can't help but think about only yourself. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right. So now she's conceived. She begins to transform, okay? Then she goes through a transition period or transformation period where she feels lousy. But there is something happening inside of her. Now, I remember one time Brother Vail came to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I brought a friend. And he went home that night, and he prayed about what he had heard, and he just became sick. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Vail became sick. The man that I brought became sick. Now, if you hear something that goes against what you have been taught, you might get sick. So he thought that it was God warning him to stay away. My goodness, can you imagine a woman who marries a man and she conceives, and when she starts to feel sick, she says, I need to get away from this guy. He's making me sick. Well, of course he is. He's transforming you. Don't you know that when you come to the Lord and conceive of his life, it causes you to have heartache and inner turmoil and all sorts of nausea about yourself? It's only natural. You're conceived of life. Because something is about to take place. Something is coming alive in you, and it's displacing other parts in you. It's pushing out the old man. And he, like many women, was content. This guy was content to stay the way that he was. He did not like the transforming stage, so he chose to abort for convenience sake. And the Bible specifically tells us that there are those kind of people that they receive the word with joy, and then all of a sudden they get sick and they abort. Okay, but she who is aware of the birth process prepares herself. A woman who smokes and drinks, when she finds out she's expecting, she stops her smoking or drinking, and she prepares herself if she is a real mother. She brings her whole body to nurture that. And always remember and never forget the very camel that Rebecca watered is the very power that packed her home. Now, in the third and fourth seal, Brother Bram said the very seed that she was watering will take her on out of here. So the very Holy Ghost that you are watering day and night is what's going to take you from here. Now, if the woman has any motherhood in her, her whole life becomes dedicated to bring forth that life that is within her. That's the purifying that we see in 1 John 3:3, and every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he's pure. So when the conception occurs, the first thing that forms is the head and the spinal cord. Then we see later on the body and the limbs form. Then as cells is added upon cell, the fingers and toes begin to appear. And Brother Bram said, it's not like a dog cell and then a cat cell and a human cell and whatever. It's word upon word upon word, okay? The characteristics of the Father are beginning to come forth in the finer details as the life within you grows. It comes more into the image of the Father as it comes closer to its birth. And as a negative comes closer to the positive, the more like the positive it becomes. Just like a shadow looks more like the object as it gets closer to the object. Now in 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now, not tomorrow, now are we sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. It begins then drawing forth. And the Bible says, Draw me and we shall run after thee, for the king has brought me into his chambers. Just like the lily, the sun begins drawing itself up. And it becomes more apparent all the time who the Father is. In Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. So when people see her coming, they don't know what's happening to her until she becomes to the place that it begins to show in her flesh. You don't know a woman is impregnated until maybe 4 or 5 months down the road, and then all of a sudden you see the transformation beginning to take place. See, when a woman doesn't understand what she's going through, she doesn't feel comfortable with anybody else, and she doesn't feel comfortable even with herself. When she finally understands what's happening, then she should be able to deal with it. Oh, you say, well, you may still have morning sickness. You may still go through the pains and uneasiness. I won't deny that. You may feel lousy, but just remember, life is coming forth. You may feel like you are the lousiest Christian that ever walked on earth, but just remember, life is coming forth. Stick with it. Don't even think about aborting what is growing inside, okay? In Mark, we see an example of this. In Mark 4:1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, and so that he entered into the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now think about that. It's still the word. He sowed the word, but it fell amongst on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Okay? And then he says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it didn't have any root within itself, it withered away. All right? It's still the word. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, on the outside. Okay? All these things are done in parables. That seeing ye may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, but know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now notice, this is an aborted life, because Satan does this to the life of the word in this person. In other words, some people hear the word and immediately they just walk out and say there's nothing to it. That's an abortion. All right? And these are they that by the likewise that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a season, a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, this is like the stillborn, who hear the and receive with joy, but then when the word is preached that calls forth for them to bear the cross of the word, they get offended. So I'm showing you different types of where the word, the same word that is sown, aborted once here, it's a type. Over here, it's a stillborn because it's received with joy, but then because of the pressures things that basically the cross that you have to bear, it ends up dying. Okay, it's like take a woman over a car, a bunch of railroad tracks to try to abort the child. Okay, all right, and then it says, and these are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, Brother Vail told me, Brother Branham was worried about the church because this one affects them the most, the cares of this life, because you've chosen the cares of this life over the word that you're bringing forth, okay? And so we see this is a Laodicean bunch who love the cares of this world more than they love God's word, which calls for a total separation from unbelief and the things of the world. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And finally, we see a type of the elect seed, gene of God, who are ordained to receive the change in their body and to bring forth the life that's in them into manifestation, okay? So from explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Brown said, you are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all power in heavens and earth. And see, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. And right now we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justifies, he has already glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep, all right? We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here rather, what we are is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other bodies are waiting. In other words, if you're living a righteous life, you know that your other body is righteous, okay? And you're getting the reflection from there. So where there is a birth, something has to die. There is a movement. The body doesn't do what it used to do. That there's a transforming power that has taken over. It's bringing forth a manifestation in your flesh that at first is not so noticeable, but as the development comes forth more and more, it becomes apparent to everyone just what is happening. In Galatians 4:9, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you. So there's a travail in birth until Christ comes forth in a transformation. He never said it would be painless. The pain is until when? I've actually heard women say that a good reason for having an abortion was that they did not want stretch marks. They didn't want any pain. Others abort because the transformation is more than they can bear. But Paul lets us know, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's your transformation, okay? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So, the dying of the Lord on one hand produces the manifestation of the life on the other, okay? Others don't want to be inconvenienced. Others think it will only cramp their lifestyle. You know, these are the same reasons people abort their walk in God. They want a religion of convenience, one that won't cramp their lifestyle, one that won't cause too much pain, one that will let them live any old way that they choose. But, you know, the abortion not only kills the life that is being brought forth, it also puts a mark upon the one allowing it to happen. In Matthew 24, we read from the NIV, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to his building. Do you see all these things? He said, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. So we shouldn't be alarmed, all right? Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of birth pains. So don't be expecting an easy time of it. Birth pains come harder and harder and with less time in between. It comes faster and faster and harder until the birth comes. In 2 Corinthians, again, we read from the NIV, and we who with an unveiled face all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. John 3:17 says, or 1-7 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh. If you sow to the spirit, you shall reap of the spirit. We move from the second stage of life into the third, which is identification. Remember, we've come from conception to transformation, which is a process going on. You're being changed, and it's also ugly, and it's necessary until we come to identification, which we see him face to face, okay? So 1 Corinthians 13 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So we move closer and closer toward his face, for he is love himself. And when we go through the transformation, it brings us to an identification, a seeing him face to face, and then we shall know as we are known. Colossians says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, the word appear was taken from the Greek word phanerum, which means to manifest in one's true character. And notice when he, Christ, who is said to be our very own life, and when he shall manifest in his true character, then shall we also appear or manifest in our true identity. So that is the same word phanerum, which means that we shall we shall also manifest in our true character with him in glory. And this word glory was translated from the Greek word doxa, which is the opinion, estimation, and judgment of God. Therefore, if Christ appears and he is the Word, then we by the same life and the same Word shall also appear in our true character. The character that is true to that Word and to that life. The Word is who you really are. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, "Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized, who impelled by his abundant mercy caused us to be born again." He caused us to be born again so that we have a hope which has been made alive. And this living hope, having been made actual through the intermediate instrumentality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among those who are dead, resulting in an inheritance imperishable and undefiled, and that does not fade away. We also see in things in 2 Peter 1 and 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us, and that his divine power is his word, because the Bible says the word is the power, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto us. So, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then again, we read from verse 22 and 23. "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now remember, there's two types of born again. The Baptist type, you know, which is of a corruptible word. And then the bride type, which is the uncorruptible word. They're only going to see corruption. We will see incorruption, okay? All right. Now, Romans 8:18-25, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." All right, so just in summary, conception, transformation, identification, okay? You've gone through the conceiving portion. You're presently in the transforming portion. You're coming into the image of Christ. And then when you see him face to face, you'll be like him because you'll know him as he is, because you know the word, okay? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word today, and we just ask you, Lord, to bless it and help the people to see where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.